If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
To you and welcome to CBS This Morning. It's Monday, July 12th, 2021. I'm Gail King. That's Anthony Mason. Adriana Diaz is here. Yay. Tony is off today. This morning, with another severe heat wave in the West that is fueling destructive wildfires, fires in Oregon and Northern California have destroyed homes and forced people to evacuate. In Arizona, a retired fire chief, his name is Jeff Pakura, was killed along with his pilot when their reconnaissance plane crashed over the weekend.
Some 30 million people are under excessive heat warnings and advisories, with record high temperatures in dozens of cities. Our lead national correspondent David Begno is in Los Angeles, where there's concern over the power grid. David, good morning.
Anthony, good morning. Fires in Oregon actually knocked out three major power transmission lines, which provide energy here to California, about 10% of the state's energy, roughly 5,500 megawatts. What does that even mean? Well, consider this. It takes 5,500 megawatts to power every home here in Los Angeles County for 2 hours. That's what it means. Now, there are backups, and the backups are working. But the fact that we're even having this discussion is why state officials are telling people, conserve energy right now and do it for the rest of the day.
Fire and fury in Northern California as the so-called Beckwith Complex blaze turned at least 20 homes into ash.
I thought it was going to, you know, be Mr. Bad with a shovel and some water, you know, but the flames are big and they're hot.
And roads into raging infernos. It is now considered the largest California wildfire this year, growing to more than triple the size of the city of San Francisco. In Oregon, just north of the California border, the bootleg fire exploded over the weekend.
We are seeing doubling in size of the fire every 24 hours. So basically, every ember that falls will start a new fire.
There was so much smoke and ash that it interfered with power lines to the south, causing them to lose their connections. That means California lost roughly a tenth of its energy.
So this is a big hit to the supply for California.
For now, there are reserves and other backup systems which have made up for the shortfall. But officials say they won't be able to restore those lines until tomorrow at the earliest.
There's quite a bit of uncertainty about just how severe this fire will be over the longer term.
What's driving the fires? Heat. Tourists braved a visit to Joshua Tree National Park in California.
It feels like we're in an oven.
And Death Valley hit 130 degrees on Friday. That is just 4 degrees short of a world record. And as that Beckwith fire continues in Northern California, the state's energy grid remains at risk.
You know, we're concerned. We're all going to do everything we possibly can to maintain reliability.
And look, it starts with this, a flex alert declared for California today. What does that mean? From 4 to 9 p.m., Californians are asked to conserve energy. Don't use major appliances like your oven and a dryer. Gail, back to you.
Boy, David, I'm still stuck on 130 degrees. That kind of sounds like we think hell is supposed to be like. Yikes. Thank you, David. Daily coronavirus cases are rising again across most of this country. Over the past week, new cases are up by 66%. Think about that number for just a second. And infection rates, they're rising in more than three dozen states. Less than half the country is fully vaccinated, and the highly infectious Delta strain now makes up more than 50% of new cases. Health officials say the speed of the variant spread is, in their words, worrisome. President Biden's chief medical advisor, we know him, that's Dr. Anthony Fauci, joins us now to discuss. Dr. Fauci, it's always good to see you, even under these circumstances. Let's start with that Delta variant. What concerns you most about it, and why is this so dangerous?
Well, the concern is, first of all, the virus itself can transmit much more readily from person to person. We know that from experience in our own country as well as in several other countries. So you're dealing with a real bad actor virus. The issue is, given the number of people in the country who are not vaccinated, that really is the concern, because the vaccines that we have available that we are administering throughout the country do very well against the Delta variant, particularly protecting against severe disease leading to hospitalization. We're concerned about those regions of the country, those states, those areas, those cities, in which the level of vaccination is really quite low, hovering around 30% or so. You've got to do much better than that, or you're going to start seeing what you showed on the screen just a few moments ago, namely a considerable increase in the number of cases that are going to be localized to those areas with low vaccination rates.
Dr. Fauci, less than half the country is fully vaccinated, and those who aren't, half of them say they don't plan to get a vaccine. When you look back now, what do you think we could have done better in terms of the messaging to get people more enthusiastic about the vaccine?
You know, I think a lot of effort has been put into getting the messaging out, particularly utilizing trusted messages in the community. People like the clergy, family physicians, sports figures, people that the community trust. When we started with the vaccine implementation plan, there were large efforts like auditoriums or sports arenas filled with people getting vaccinated. When you get down to now a core lesser group, you've got to go one-on-one. And that's really what the president was talking about trying to get some of these advisors, not federal officials, but community people to go out there and try and convince people why it's so important for their own health, for that of their family, and for that of the community to go out and get vaccinated. We really need to get more people vaccinated because that's the solution.
Yeah.
This virus will, in fact, be protected against by the vaccine.
Dr. Fauci, I don't know how many more times you can say to people, listen, it will save your life. I have this problem with some members of my own family, which I'm now going to ban for Thanksgiving vacation. That's how strongly I'm taking what you're saying. But over the weekend, there was a bit of confusion between Pfizer and the CDC and the FDA. Pfizer says, listen, we need to get a booster shot. The FDA and the CDC say, no, not yet. Does Pfizer know something that the CDC and the FDA do not know?
No, not really, Gail. The situation is as follows. When you have a regulatory agency like FDA or a public health agency like the CDC, whenever they make solid official recommendations, they will do that based on solid data and evidence that they've gotten from clinical studies, which they are very actively accumulating right now, and will utilize that data to ultimately make recommendations. What Pfizer did, understandably, they looked at what their data and they say, hey, you know, based on what we see, we think people should get vaccinated with a boost. Well, that's fine, except they're not the official recommending organization. So although they do good work, they have study and data that we will go over with them to determine if there's anything there that we need to use. But you're talking about the difference between an organization whose responsibility is to make an official recommendation based on data and a pharmaceutical company, as good as they are, who look at their product and say, hey, you know, we really think you need to get a booster shot. So is a difference there.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fauci. Moving on now, the arrest of four people in Denver is raising speculation about a threat to baseball's All-Star game. Authorities seized multiple weapons and drugs from two hotel rooms near Coors Field, the site of tomorrow's night's event. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge joins us now. Catherine, good morning. Is the FBI part of this investigation now?
Adriana, good morning. In a statement, the FBI said there is no reason to believe the incident is connected to terrorism or a direct threat to the All-Star game. As former agents tell CBS News, the next 48 hours are critically important to understand whether others are involved.
We are not aware of any ongoing threat related to these individuals or this situation.
Denver police SWAT teams swarmed the Maven Hotel Friday night after a hotel maid reported suspicious activity. Two rooms at the top of the hotel were searched with multiple weapons, including rifles and drugs seized. Three men and one woman face initial charges, including possession of a firearm by a previous offender, as well as narcotics possession. One of the suspects, Ricardo Rodriguez, spoke to our Denver station KCNC in this jailhouse interview.
They had a sniper rifle, probably two of them, three mid-size assault rifles, AK-47s.
With nearly three decades at the ATF, Scott Sweeto, who investigated the Olympic Park bombing, said the immediate priority is looking into the suspect's digital media.
Really look at their digital exhaust, the cell phones, computers, hit social media companies with preservation orders to make sure that no evidence can be destroyed.
With large crowds expected for Tuesday's game and the hotel's close proximity to Coors Field, Sweeto said,
"Everybody go!"
The 2017 Las Vegas shooting, where a lone gunman opened fire on the crowd, killing dozens and wounding hundreds more, was not far from anyone's mind.
And that was really a seminal incident for law enforcement and hotel security. And they never really were able to look at these large events the same way again.
I can tell you that if I would have saw something like that, if I would have seen him preparing for something like that, I would have intervened. Absolutely.
And Denver's mayor said he's spoken to Major League Baseball and the Colorado Rockies, and Tuesday's game is going ahead. He wants everyone to understand and to be reassured that the event and the area are safe, Gail.
All right. Thank you very much, Catherine. Thousands of people across Cuba took part in some of the biggest protests on the island in decades. They are angry over recent food and medicine shortages and a worsening COVID outbreak. Some now want Cuba's president to step down. Manuel Bohorquez is in Miami with more on the story. Manny, good morning to you. How are the Cuban Americans there reacting to this?
Gail, good morning. Versailles Restaurant is typically the epicenter of rallies and protests here in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood. And last night was no different, with thousands of people showing up to express their support for those protesters in Cuba. And while the demonstrations here may be commonplace, what's happening in Cuba is not only rare, but historic.
Thousands of protesters gathered in communities around Havana and across the island nation, shouting freedom and we are not afraid. Although protests began peacefully, they soon took a more violent turn as police and special forces moved in later on to break up the demonstrations. President Miguel Díaz-Canel himself made an appearance at one protest and spoke with some of the citizens who confronted him. Demonstrators here say they are fed up by food shortages, rising prices, collapsing infrastructure, and the government's response to a rising number of COVID-19 infections. On Saturday, Cuba recorded nearly 7,000 new cases. On Cuban television, Díaz-Canel blamed the protest on the U.S. and its trade embargo for a severe impact on Cuba's recent economic downturn.
The Trump administration passed many more regulations, many more sanctions against it, which basically has cut off all income coming into Cuba.
Portia Siegelbaum is a CBS News producer based in Cuba.
I think the Biden administration, he at least said at the beginning he was going to review this policy and make changes, but nothing has happened.
Several politicians have expressed their support for the people of Cuba and those protesters, including Cuban-American Senator Marco Rubio. As one defector told our CBS Miami affiliate, seeing those protests was, quote, magical. Anthony?
Manuel Bohorquez, thank you, Manny. There's been a major break in the investigation into the assassination of Haiti's president. Police say they arrested a key suspect, a Haitian man based in Florida. Christian Sanon is accused of helping to recruit some of the assassins who killed Jovenel Moise last week. Police believe Sanon, who identifies himself as a doctor, flew into Haiti last month. In a 2011 YouTube video, Sanon calls the leaders of Haiti corrupt. He's the third Haitian with U.S. ties to be arrested.
Back here in the U.S., in Texas, the state legislature is set to vote this week on two restrictive voting bills. The legislation moved forward yesterday after a heated debate. Critics say the measures unfairly harm Black voters. Mireya Villarreal has more from Austin.
Democratic House Representative Aaron Zwiener believes the push for tighter voting restrictions is based on fear.
Why do you think that this has become such a big deal during this session?
Texans are still struggling in the wake of COVID. We have severe learning disruptions for our students and not a good plan to correct that. And we have trouble even keeping the lights on. So I think they are deathly afraid that Texans are about to figure out that they have better options and are doing everything they can to cling on to power.
Bills filed by Republican state senators would include new ID requirements for people voting by mail, ban 24-hour voting and drive-through voting sites, and increase criminal penalties for election officials or people assisting voters.
But what we see today is greater suppression in legislation to provide less access to the polls.
Hundreds of Texans from across the state flocked to the Capitol over the weekend and gave public testimonies in marathon all-night hearings.
Texas already has some of the most restrictive voting laws in the country, and this is going to create even more hurdles to people voting.
It's a common sense reform bill that's going to help every Texan vote.
Republican State Senator Brian Hughes wrote the Senate bill.
Democrats will say this is more about the idea that the election was stolen back in November and that these restrictions are being put in place to punish voters moving forward.
Senate Bill 1 is about protecting voters from folks who are trying to steal their votes, from ballot harvesters, from unscrupulous workers, folks who are trying to influence, coerce, mislead, literally steal ballots. That happens, still happens.
Democrats were able to block a similar set of restrictive bills earlier this year by staging a walkout. They say they are considering that again, as well as other options. But the lieutenant governor here in Texas says if that happens, he will step in and make sure he protects the legislative process. Anthony?
Mireya, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals.
You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
Get one of the most successful broadcasts in television history on your schedule with the 60 Minutes podcast. Hard-hitting investigative reports, news, and culture maker interviews and in-depth profiles are waiting for you in every episode. Listen to 60 Minutes ad-free on Wondery Plus.